Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to border scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and scram a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give them rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
No, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Here's some shocking new numbers for you suggesting the true extent of voter fraud across this country. Remember, we've been told by Supreme Courts, by federal courts, by the Democratic Party, that don't worry about those voter ID laws because there's not voter fraud. Well, a Pew Research report shows that 1 in 8 voter registrations are, quote, significantly inaccurate or no longer valid, suggesting further potentially some 18 million invalid voter registrations in this country, nearly 2 million dead people, that is, dead, are still listed as voters, and they've got friends who apparently keep them company come election day. Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton told us, quote, the best solution would be to reform the system. In the long run, more voter ID, citizenship verification. In the short run, the American people should pressure law enforcement to prosecute voting fraud. This can be done at the local, state, and federal level. I would like to be as optimistic as Tom. I'm not. Joining me now, Washington Times staff writer, Fox News contributor, Charlie Hurt. Great to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Lou. Thanks.
First, at the epic proportions of potential voter fraud here, and nothing is being done about it. Donald Trump, to his credit, has said he wants folks to volunteer as poll watchers and observers. What do you think?
Yeah, it really is. That report is really terrifying, and especially when you consider the how hard the left fights against the idea of showing your ID in order to cast a ballot. But one of the most cynical arguments that you hear from the left is that, oh, well, it's not that many people are right. Not that many instances of voter fraud. And I'm thinking, my goodness, just one instance is terrible, is unacceptable. Because, of course, any one instance of voter fraud means that another person, their vote is being canceled out by that. And it really is, it undermines the entire, the very heart of what this government is supposed to be about.
Well, of course, as WikiLeaks is making clear, that's precisely the intent of the entire Clinton cartel campaign structure and culture. It is an extraordinary series of revelations validating what many of us, somewhat cynically, one might also say well-informed, believe for a long time.
And validating the entire campaign of Donald Trump, when he was talking about how the system is rigged and this is rigged and that's rigged, everybody in the news business, their heads explode. They get so upset because they say it's so reckless to use language like this. And then here we have in the final days of the election, day after day, thousands of these emails surfacing, being revealed that show that, oh my goodness, there are actual instances where it is being rigged, and then where maybe it isn't rigged, you can bet the Clintons are trying their damn hardest in order to rig it. And it validates everything Donald Trump has been saying. The worst.
I'm sorry, Charlie. And the national media, the left-wing media, it's all the same. They are synonymous. In the establishment, everyone is working against Donald J. Trump. They are working on the left, the right, the Republican leadership. The Democratic leadership, they hate his guts because he is taking them on. The establishment. Can he, in your judgment, break through in the next 3 weeks and wrest this power from these orthodoxies who are suffocating this great nation?
I really don't know, Lou. I mean, what we have seen in the last 2 or 3 weeks where the media has gone after, it's one thing to go after the guy during the primary when he's just a showman, a real estate developer, and he's saying things that shocks people and all that kind of stuff. But we're talking about the Republican nominee. He represents millions and millions of Americans, and to have him running for public office and to have the media, as you say, it's not just the left-wing right. media. You have a lot of conservative media as well. Right. To have all the media unified in lockstep to defeat him, to destroy him, and to basically disenfranchise millions and millions of American voters, it's shocking to me.
And among them, Republican donors, some of the biggest names, the Speaker of the House acting the fool. And a treacherous, utterly despicable series of acts on the part of Paul Ryan. Your thoughts?
Those are all self-inflicted wounds. Donald Trump is not, the idea that somehow Donald Trump has become the face of the Republican Party, I really don't buy that. Yes, he's the Republican nominee, but he snatched the nomination away from the Republican Party. He became his own nominee with his own issues. And why it is that people like Paul Ryan want to get involved, unendorsing him and then re-endorsing him, just run your campaign. Just do what you have to do.
How about just
don't
support
worry about the guy.
And honor your responsibility as one of the leaders of the party to support the nominee? How ignorant do you have to be to be this duplicitous and deceitful. What do you think?
It's
does
incredible.
He survive?
I don't know. It's a lot harder to imagine today.
Is
than
he going to get converted?
Is he going to what?
Get converted.
I don't know. That's a good question.
All right, I got two I don't knows. That may be a record for Charlie Hurt. Good to have you with us, Charlie. Thanks so much.
Welcome to Hannity. I want you to pay very close attention to what I'm going to tell you tonight. We have bombshell revelations from a new round of released emails from WikiLeaks, reportedly from the inbox of Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta. These details are absolutely stunning, and most of the media is not covering this. We're going to go over it in detail. Now, in 2008, the Clinton campaign appeared to conduct a focus group that tested voters' reactions to various attacks that they may have wanted to use against then-Senator Barack Obama in the upcoming primary race. This tells you a lot about the Clintons. Now, here are the topics they were looking at back then and allegedly testing. Quote, Obama's the only candidate at a recent event not to cover his heart during the national anthem, and he stopped wearing an American flag pin. Obama benefited from a land deal from a contributor who's been indicted for corruption. Obama would personally negotiate with leaders of terrorist nations like Iran and North Korea without preconditions. Wow, Hillary did that too. Obama voted against allowing people to use handguns to defend themselves against intruders. Obama planned to raise taxes by $180 billion to pay for his government-run health care plan. Hillary voted for it. Obama also voted repeatedly against emergency funding bills for U.S. troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Obama's father was a Muslim, and Obama grew up among Muslims in the world's most populous Islamic country. Obama is ranked as one of the 10 most liberal members of the Senate because of his support for issues like gay adoption. Obama voted against requiring medical care for aborted fetuses who survived that procedure. Obama supports giving driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants. By the way, Hillary supported that too. Obama described his former use of cocaine as just using a little blow. So here's more proof that the Clinton campaign has been pushing this Muslim narrative all along. Now, these stunning facts exposed by WikiLeaks, it's only a small portion of what has been uncovered with these released emails. Now, we've also learned that what Hillary Clinton tells you, the American people, about her policy positions in public is very different from what she says in private. Now, you think Clinton would be ashamed to admit that she lies to you, the American people, but no, she actually brags about doing exactly that in a 2013 Wall Street speech where she was paid $225,000. Here are some of her major contradictions. Now, she says she wants to increase the number of Syrian refugees coming into the country by 550%, but the WikiLeaks emails show that in a speech in 2013, she admitted that refugees cannot be properly vetted and could put countries they enter at risk. Stop one second. That means she's willing to gamble with your life. Now, Clinton also claims she wants a no-fly zone in Syria, but it was revealed that she was very skeptical about the idea during a speech she gave to Goldman Sachs, despite being the so-called champion, by the way, also of climate change. Well, these emails reveal that she's unsure about supporting or opposing the Keystone Pipeline, and also she prays fracking. Well, that's pretty hypocritical. Now, Clinton also pretends that she's a fierce critic of Wall Street and big banks, but as they were paying her again and again and again, she praised their actions after the 2007 financial collapse while she was talking to bankers who were paying her. And contrary to what she says now in paid speeches, well, Clinton has supported open borders and open trade. She even wants an open hemisphere, we also discovered. And we discovered, too, that these emails, that Clinton's team, they actually tried to use the Benghazi terror attack as a distraction from her private email server scandal. Now think about that. Who does this? We're talking about four dead Americans that died in that attack. And remember, there were 600 requests for extra security, and she didn't send anybody to help them, and she wanted to use their deaths as a political distraction. Who acts like that? And speaking of her email scandal, serious red flags are being raised tonight after emails released earlier today show that John Podesta emailed Clinton aide Cheryl Mills, quote, "You think we should hold emails to and from the POTUS? meaning the President of the United States, well, that's the heart of his executive privilege. Now, we can get them to ask for that. Now, they may not care, but it seems like they probably will. So it appears now that President Obama did, in fact, know that Clinton used a private email account, despite publicly saying to you that he learned about it from press reports, just like we did. Now, this shows the Clinton server scandal may very well reach the highest level of government. Mr. President, what did you know? And when did you know it? Now, to me, this helps prove why Clinton's IT team, remember, they used BleachBit to permanently delete tens of thousands of emails instead of wiping it clean with a cloth. In my opinion, it explains the very suspicious, very questionable actions of the FBI Director James Comey and the Attorney General Loretta Lynch, and why Bill Clinton, of course, met privately with Lynch on her private plane for nearly 40 minutes just before she rendered her decision. Now, they couldn't bring charges against Clinton or investigate this too much. Why? Oh, Obama looks to be directly tied to Hillary's scandal. Now, simply put, for President Obama, this would be the equivalent of Watergate. Plus, WikiLeaks also discovered that the campaign was tipped off. In other words, collusion with the Department of Justice about the release of information about Hillary's private email server. And on top of that, collusion with the State Department, because the State Department gave the campaign a heads up about when emails related to the Democratic nominee would be released to the public. But the revelations don't stop there. Now, WikiLeaks also uncovered more about the inner workings of the Clinton Foundation. This is interesting. This is pay to play. Chelsea Clinton in 2011 raised those questions about corruption, about pay to play, and those practices going on inside of her family's charity, but her complaints were ignored, and she was even viciously attacked for speaking out by one of her father's longtime aides, Doug Bann. Well, he called Chelsea a spoiled brat. Now, keep in mind, as the AP has previously reported, remember, 55% of non-governmental people who met with Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State, they ended up donating or pledging money to the Clinton Foundation. Is that selling access? Now, ABC News is also reporting that after the 2010 earthquake in Haiti, remember, 150,000 people died, a reported $10 billion in relief aid was being dedicated to that disaster. At that time, Hillary's State Department gave special treatment to Bill Clinton's friends who may have been looking to cash in. Now, the New York Post editorial board called this, quote, the most damning Clinton Foundation story yet. They made separate lists of their friends. Now, the Clinton Foundation, of course, denies this ever happened, but WikiLeaks says otherwise. And there's also more. There's also the blatant hypocrisy of Hillary Clinton and her campaign. Well, they labeled Donald Trump a racist, a sexist, a xenophobe, referring to his supporters. Remember, basket of deplorables that are irredeemable. Bill Clinton said they're rednecks. Well, the released emails show that her campaign attacked and mocked Catholics and evangelicals, and that John Podesta, a left-wing activist, he was talking about fomenting revolution within the Catholic Church, and it should be infiltrated so they can inject their progressive values into the church. In one email, Podesta used the subject line, quote, needy Latinos, one easy call for the needy Latinos. And they also leaked emails from the Democratic National Committee. Remember, they showed a sleazy plan to post a fake job listing on Craigslist for a Trump company? The job requirements, no gaining weight, and that you must be open to public humiliation. Also on top of that, there's the issue of liberal mainstream media bias and how it has now become an extension of the Clinton campaign. Now, since 2008, what have I been telling you? Journalism in America is dead. But back then, the press refused to vet Senator Obama. And now we have proof that the abusively biased liberal media is now openly colluding with the Clinton campaign in what is clearly a coordinated effort to put Hillary in the White House. Now, what WikiLeaks found is disturbing. It should be very, very concerning to everybody in this country. Because in emails, we see that CNBC's John Harwood, remember he moderated a debate, he offered advice to the Clinton campaign, praised Hillary, and bragged about attacking Trump at a primary debate that he was moderating. A New York Times reporter actually allowed the Clinton campaign to edit out certain quotes from Hillary before the story is published. By the way, they never let me do that. Also, the Boston Globe launched an effort to try and boost up Hillary Clinton while she was battling Senator Bernie Sanders in the primaries. Also, the head of Univision. He pushed Team Clinton to attack Trump even harder on issues like immigration. And after a trip to Michigan, the Clinton campaign bragged that every single interviewer was for her. Then over at CNN, Donna Brazile, while working there, appears to have shared a question with the Clinton campaign before a town hall on that very network. Brazile denies it, but the question seems verbatim. Also, there are revelations about how Hillary Clinton and her campaign feel about you, how they really feel about you, the American people. An email shows that Clinton hated using the term everyday Americans in speeches, and in prepared remarks, Hillary said she was far removed from the struggles of the middle class because of the fortunes her and Bill now enjoyed, because they get $250,000 a speech from big banks and lobbyists and insurance companies and Wall Street firms and much more. Huge, huge, huge revelations. Joining us now with reaction, the author of the brand new book, it's out today, it's called Treason, former Speaker of the House, Fox News contributor, Newt Gingrich. All right, here's what's amazing about this to me. Number one, you see the dark arts of politics that the Clintons played against Obama. That's now revealed in WikiLeaks. And on top of that, you got this collusion, full collusion with the media. They're an extension of Clinton. Then it's also the State Department. They're tipping off Clinton. The Justice Department is tipping off Clinton. The White House is helping Clinton with the email server scandal. And why? Because Obama, who said he learned about the emails like we did from the press, actually was emailing the private email. What do you make of all this? In the media, by the way, all they want to talk about is some new woman that made an allegation this late in the game against Donald Trump.
Well, look, I think you have to see the whole thing as the same thing. You have so much corruption underway now that, you know, you get $1 million check from a dictatorship in the Middle East for as a birthday gift for Bill Clinton. Well, in a healthy society, that'd be considered bribery. You get the richest man in Mexico donating millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation, while he's also the major stockholder in the New York Times, which just happens to be doing everything it can to protect Hillary Clinton.
Can I just stop you? The $1 million check came from Qatar, a country that allows that its marital rape is legal?
Well, it's also a country which Hillary herself had said was helping support and sustain ISIS.
Yep.
I mean, one of the things, WikiLeaks, there's so much material there that it's going to take a while for it to sink in. But WikiLeaks actually is going to presently give us an entirely new understanding of how sick and how dishonest and how corrupt the left is, and all of its mechanisms, the news media, the bureaucracy, the campaign, and at the center of it are the Clintons, and Hillary Clinton is the most corrupt candidate ever to run for president of the United States, and you're now seeing detail after detail after detail, but it's beyond any reasonable question of the depth of their corruption, and what they would bring into the White House. If you look at how the $10 billion was supposed to go to help the Haitians after the last earthquake, and what do we have happen?
Yeah.
You suddenly had friends of Bill who came to, not people who knew Haiti, not people who had particular skills, but friends of Bill, people who had donated, suddenly got special State Department treatment. Well, this kind of stuff's surfacing now in a way that I suspect the average American over the next week or two is just going to be sickened by the repetitive example of corruption.
Do you think it's a coincidence that here we are 25 days out of a campaign, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, six women come out and make allegations against Donald Trump? Six. And do you think it's coincidental it's happening right in the middle of a massive document dump that implicates the Clintons?
Look, if you're the New York Times or CBS News or the Washington Post, and you're desperately propping up the most corrupt candidate in history, you're going to reach for anything. I think it's actually funny today that the man who was cited by that first woman being on the first-class flight in the airplane 30 years ago actually came out of the woodwork, turns out to be British, said, yes, I was sitting across the aisle, no, she's a total liar. I mean, you know, all these things are all going to unravel. But it gives the media a chance for a few days to try to suppress the Trump voter, and I think it makes the polls highly inaccurate.
Listen,
because you get 3 or 4 days like this, a lot of voters aren't going to say Donald Trump's name when they're called by a pollster, but they will say, they will answer Donald Trump. This is why Rasmussen is very different from some of the polls, because it doesn't require you to tell a person what you're going to do.
That's pretty interesting, and I like what you're saying. It took me 10 minutes to outline just the headlines of what is. There's so much here about collusion with the media, collusion with the State Department, collusion with the Justice Department, and the White House knowing and Obama lied, and they're talking about erasing emails that are under subpoena. There's a lot here. All right, well, more with Newt Gingrich right after the break. Also, WikiLeaks help reveal just how much the White House knows about the Clinton server scandal. What did they know? When did they know it? Should the case be reopened? Judge Jeanine Pirro, Kimberly Guilfoyle weigh in later tonight and more.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. On that particular page, apparently Radio Tune is not working. It hasn't been working for the last couple of days. I have no idea what's going on with that. But don't fear, we got a backup player. So jump over there. I'll post the link inside the chat room. And it's www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. Radio.html. So just put shazizz.com and radio.html and you'll find me backup player. Or you can just click over to the main page and it's already there too. So anyway, I'm going to have to resolve that. If Radio Tuna can't get theirs resolved, then I guess I'll have to put the backup player on there. So we listened to a couple podcasts there about election fraud in the USA. Anybody surprised? Anyway, you think about all the craziness that's going on out there in the world and this crazy election that's going on. And, you know, there's tons and tons of conspiracies out there about, corruption and secret societies and such. But this particular election right here, it's like, it's right up here in your face. I mean, people getting busted left and right doing all kinds of stuff, stuffing ballots and, rigging voting machines and everything like that. The election hasn't even really started, as far as the actual election, the primary. Now, the primary, there's a whole bunch of election shenanigans going on during the primary portion of the deal. But, it's going to come a time when they're going to push the people of America too far. The average Joe is already to the point where they don't trust the mainstream media, they don't trust the government, they don't trust law enforcement, they don't trust information being passed on to them. See, the propaganda war is starting to backfire on the global elite. And sometimes I think that maybe they're doing this on purpose because they want to start a fight with the American people, order out of chaos kind of thing. But unfortunately for them, if they manage to wake that sleeping giant that is the United States of America, we the people, they're not going to fare so well. Nobody on either side could ever win a second Civil War. It would be the end of America, period. That's all there is to it. It'd just be nothing but a road warrior society, and there is no other nation on this planet who would ever be able to reconquer the United States. It'd be a mess. Nobody would ever want to come here. They'd probably send all their prisoners here, across the border or something, because it would be the most unsafe place on the planet. And I say that, and it sounds like, I'm being dramatic, but in reality, let me tell you something. I know a lot of people that have a lot of guns, all right? And I know a lot of people that love their family unconditionally. And if you start going around rounding up their family members, or you start shooting their family members, or you sick the military or the police on them, you're going to have the worst war you could ever possibly imagine. There's folks that, this is beyond. You know, once a man has tasted freedom, he ain't gonna let it go. And if you think that you're going to come to the United States and you're going to conquer and you're going to find a submissive crowd by, abusing them or violating them or whatever, you know, killing a bunch of us off and all that kind of stuff, you're going to find out something that just wasn't thought about, probably hadn't even been said through the whole deal. There are some really crazy Americans over here. There are some individuals that, basically take things off the store shelves and learn how to make destructive devices with it. There are crowds of people that you just really wouldn't want to get on their bad side, if you understand what I'm trying to say. And just like Vietnam, the way that Vietnam went down, the reason why Vietnam was a war that wasn't won by either side, as far as I'm concerned, is because you didn't know who the enemy was. You didn't know which side was which. They didn't wear uniforms like, standing armies wear uniforms. You pretty much can tell which army's which by what they're wearing. I wasn't like that. There were attacks coming from bushes. There were attacks coming from tunnels in the ground. There were attacks coming from improvised devices. And it was a god-awful mess for those individuals who had the misfortune of actually being over there. It was a mess. And so this is what you're going to find, that if America falls into disarray or... basically the government collapses in America, nothing outside of a thermonuclear war is going to stop the American people from stomping in the dirt anybody who tries to harm their family. That's just being honest. You know, I know a lot of farmers out here, and they're nice folks you ever want to be with. But you try to hurt their family, and you're going to find something that is so terrifying, it's beyond imagine. Beyond all imagination. These folks out here are serious about their loved ones. You know, they'll laugh with you, they'll cry with you, they'll work with you, they'll do whatever, you know. You start hurting your family, you got a problem. And so this whole thing about, a race war here in the United States, that would be a sorry... I would feel sorry for anyone who decided to start such a race war. It'd be a mess. Second Civil War, ain't no standing army going to come up against the American citizen. Ain't going to happen. And that's not talking tough. That's talking reality. There is such a diverse crowd in America. You'll have gang wars. You'll have a road warrior style mentality going on. Every man for himself. It'll be a free for all. And it don't matter which flag you're carrying. It doesn't matter which uniform you got on. If you come to hurt somebody's family, their friends, you're going to find out what the true heart of the American person is. It's a mess. And so with all this election fraud and all these threats against Russia and all the different things going back and forth, all this craziness, they're starting to bite off more than they chew. If the mainstream media thinks that they're going to steal this election and bring about peace, they're going to find out the hard way that it's not going to go over like they thought. In election years past, they were able to steal elections, hand over fist, steal elections. But it's gotten to the point where the American people are just so entirely fed up. It's just crazy. You're even starting to see a turn in the mainstream media where you can actually see fear. They're panicking at this point in game. They are getting to the point where they're starting to talk about conspiracies that otherwise were never even mentioned on the radio. So things are starting to unwind for them. Things are starting to unwind for the corporate elite and the established government. Now, you could say that somewhere along the line, you know, with George Soros and, you know, different nations, that there was a destabilization campaign that was being portrayed on the United States of America to get us destabilized into a second civil war, and maybe even move us as far as going into World War III for the whole conspiracy of global depopulation. But like I said before, outside of an all-out thermal nuclear war in all nations, America's not going to go down without a whimper. America's not going to go down without a fight. I know this for a fact. If any standing army steps foot on United States soil and starts shooting Americans, I feel bad for them. I really do. And if it comes to an all and all out thermal nuclear conflict, I feel bad for everybody. This whole global elite, one world government conspiracy, whatever you want to call it, it's unraveling. It's backfiring in their faces. Now, they may steal the hill, they may steal the election for Hillary. They may actually accomplish it. But it's going to come a point when they're going to push the American people too far. And it ain't going to be America attacking America. It's going to be all the elite first. They're going to go right straight for the source. There's an old saying about run them out on a rail, you know. There's a crooked politician in town and they put him on a rail and run him out of town. Tell him never come back. I'm fearful that it'll be a heck of a lot worse than that. So if you're part of the government out there, part of the law enforcement, and part of the alphabet soup agencies out there that's fighting against terrorism and trying to save the country, my suggestion is do your job. Do your job and go out there and get those folks who are destabilizing this country before it implodes. Because once this thing comes down, it's a done deal, man. It's going to be beyond ugly. Neither side can win a second civil war here in the United States. I'm just going to say that right out front. And there ain't going to be no standing army even after the civil war starts. There ain't going to be no standing army. I don't care if they come from China, Russia, and every other nation in the world. If every doggone nation brings their standing army here, rolls it all up into the United States, and decides they're going to conquer the United States and take over, even if our own military turn on us and decide that they're going to take over, they're going to find something they never expected. They're going to find the most craziest individuals that they've ever witnessed in the history of their time. I know this. I know this for a fact. So it won't matter what color flag you got. It won't matter what uniform you got. It won't even matter how many doggone weapons, ammunition, tanks, trucks, poison gas, or whatever you got. Because what comes around goes around, brother. And I'm going to tell you what. These folks out here these days and the modern day youth over here in America, they're nuts. you ain't going to play that game with them. You start shooting their friends and hauling people off into jail, you might get by with it for a few minutes until people figure out what the heck is going on, but you ain't going to get by with it for very long. This is beyond stupid. Election fraud after election fraud after election fraud. Corruption after corruption. And people are starting to see through the whole doggone man behind the curtain scene. People are starting to recognize that they can't trust MSNBC, they can't trust ABC, they can't trust CNN, they can't trust the Fox News Network, they can't trust any mainstream radio or TV outlet at all. And just about 99.9% of everything that comes out of the doggone mouths of the majority of the Senate and the Congress and the police departments and the FBI and the CIA and the DEA is all a bunch of propaganda and lies. And they know it. So it's going to come down to one heck of a mess. America's heading over the cliff, basically over the falls in a barrel, going down the side of a mountain in a grocery cart. And you want to see hell on earth? Start the second Civil War and you'll find out what hell on earth is going to be like. Start World War III and, you know, hey, you get what you want. You got to be careful what you wish for, because if it comes, it's coming with the vengeance. And I don't understand why all these jokers up here at the top, rich billionaires like George Soros and all the people out there, you know, Al Gore and all of the big names out there, I don't know what the heck they're thinking, because they may think that they can maneuver the tiger into the cage without getting their eyes scratched out, but they're going to find out the hard way. It ain't going to happen. And sucks to be them when they run up in them doomsday bunkers, because there's already plans behind the scenes. As soon as those doors close and they're up inside those bunkers, there's going to be bulldozers and tractors and combines and concrete trucks that's going to lock them down. And they ain't coming out. So even though all the people on the outside may die, they're not getting out, ever. So if you're one of the global elite and you think you're going to go ride it out in the bunker with 20, 30 years worth of food and resources, you better think again. People have many, many years to listen to all the different conspiracies and corruption and craziness going on. You think they figured out by now where your hole is? What side of the mountain you're sleeping in? How many tunnels you got and where they're at? Where the entrances and the exits are? Just as much as the doggone governments of the world had prepared for continuity of government, the crazy people of the world had prepared for just such an emergency, that if you're going to leave us hanging out in the wind, then you're going down with us. You think I'm joking? Try it. Start World War III. Start the Second Civil War in the United States. Run up inside your doomsday bunker and hope for the best. Because once you get inside that tomb, which is your doomsday bunker, you ain't ever coming out. Period. It's where you're staying. This world, I don't understand it. We got every single resource necessary to take care of every single living soul on this planet. To feed them, to house them, to clothe them, to give them medicine. And yet, the majority of all the people in this world let greedy SOBs from around the globe basically use and abuse and manipulate people. There's things done to people, children, and adults all over this world. There's wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence, just like it said in the book. And no matter what, you try to warn somebody a step ahead of time, hey, look, you might want to keep your eyes peeled on this mess. Oh, you're a nut. You're a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. Really? So what in the heck is going on with all that corruption in the government? What is it? I tell you what it is. It's a mess. It's a doggone mess. And, you know, I just gotta step back and I gotta look at this whole deal, and I'm just like, I can't believe it. I can't believe that the majority of the people in this world could be that doggone ignorant. Every day you hear about hacking emails. You hear about hacking this and hacking that. You hear about doggone jihadists running around killing people because of what they believe in. You hear about people bombing these folks, drone strikes over here. You hear about cops beating people toothless on the side of the road or whatever, you know. You hear about people who supposedly out there, social justice warriors, who supposedly out there to protest and bring about social justice, are literally out there abusing and violating the rights of other people who have their own particular views or opinions or beliefs. I put a comment on a video the other day because there's a group of individuals out there talking about changing the pronouns to they or them instead of saying man or woman or he or she. You want to call them they or them. And getting really rude about the whole deal. I don't care what you want to call yourself, but I don't have to call you what you want me to call you. I don't have to conform to what you want me to conform to. It's like, your rights are your rights and my rights are your rights and so on and so forth. Basically, as long as you conform to what they want, then everything's hunky-dory. But if you say anything outside of what they want you to say or want you to believe, they'll use the law, the same law that they protest against you. They'll go to the police to get them to violate you. And so, if they don't get their way on that side of the fence, they'll go out and trash their own communities. And I'm saying, our college education in the United States of America has failed miserably. It's failed. The kids coming up out of college not only are so self-entitled, they just don't have no kind of concern for nobody but themselves, unless it's the clique that they're in and supporting. And then when they get up out of there, who from any company wants to hire somebody like that? Somebody who's been indoctrinated into all this craziness. So they ain't finding jobs when they get out of college. They ended up working in Walmart and McDonald's and crazy stuff, you know. What's the point of going to college to only get yourself so incredibly in debt, and then you can't do nothing with that piece of paper that you just got? So yeah, folks, America has some serious, serious, serious issues. America has some serious, serious flaws. And it's going to come down to the point. I'm telling you, it's going to come down to the point. They are going to push the American people too far. And for the American people out there, and for the people of the governments and all the alphabet soup agencies out there that are supposed to be protecting the Constitution and keeping continuity of government and keeping everybody safe and national security and such, I'm saying you better do your job, and you better do your job now. Because when it comes down to it, the first bullseyes will be on your back. And it don't, like I said, it don't matter what uniform you wear. It doesn't matter what even if you don't wear a uniform. You go around and you start a fight with the American people, I'm telling you right now, so many people out there are on so many different mind-altering drugs, everything from Ritalin to Prozac to Luvox to pot to heroin to meth to you name it. And if you go start killing off their doggone family, you're not going to be working with the average Joe anymore. You're going to be working out with a drugged out psychopath that is going to mop you into the worst visual part of hell that you can imagine. And the reason why it got to this point is because the mainstream media, the governments of the world, and all the corruption and all the constant telling everybody there's a terrorist behind every bush, a doomsday scenario here, propaganda behind the scenes, all kinds of conspiracy theories. You've got these individuals so doggone on edge and racked up that they're self-medicating. They're stocking up on guns and ammunition. They got the anarchist cookbook. They got all kinds of different ways that they can figure out how to make improvised devices. And they ain't going to care whether you're carrying an American flag, a Russian flag, a Chinese flag. You come and hurt their family. And if any of the American citizens try to hurt each other's family, it'll be the same thing. It's going to be a free-for-all. Go watch the movie Road Warrior. Go watch the series Jericho. And go see how people will react when they ain't got food for their children. So, if you're part of this established global elite that thinks you're going to get by with depopulation, you better think again. If you think you're going to get by with igniting World War III and running up into your rat hole bunker for continuity of government, you better think again. Once you go in, you ain't coming out. Once World War III starts, we're all screwed. If Second Civil War starts, once you get in, it's too late. Now, I know a lot of people. I know a lot of nice individuals. I know people that give you the shirt off your back. They give you the shirt off their back. They would give you their last crumb of bread. They would give you their last dollar. They would do whatever they could for you. But you hurt their family, you hurt their children, you hurt their friends, and you're going to watch that once loving individual turn into the worst form of a beast that you can possibly imagine. Once a man has tasted freedom, he's not going to let it go without a fight. There was a wise man over in China that said the reason why China doesn't think about a ground invasion on the American people is because behind every blade of grass there's a gun. There's a reason why the United States didn't win Vietnam. There was no uniform situation. There were people that looked alike. Everybody looked alike. You didn't know who your enemy was. They were coming up out of the bushes. They were coming up out of the ground. They were stabbing you with knives, sticks, blowing you up with whatever they could get. You think that Vietnam was bad? Try that on the American people. See the doggone motorcycle gangs, the street gangs, the thugs. It's mind-blowing. If an American citizen can't feel safe to walk down the streets of the doggone Chicago or New York or any of the major cities, If an American citizen can't walk down the street safe in peacetime, imagine what it's going to be like during wartime. And I don't care how bad you think you are, I don't care how tough you think you are, I don't care how big you think your military is, you come in here with your shock and awe and your overwhelming force, you sick the police and the military on the American people, once that giant's awake, it's going to be the bloodiest, nastiest mess that you have ever contemplated in your entire life. Outside of a thermonuclear attack on American soils, there is no way that anybody's ever going to take this ground from these crazy people. That's plain and simple. This election fraud going on there, if they steal the election, like they've done so many times, and I don't care whether Trump wins, I don't care whether doggone Hillary wins, it ain't about the doggone candidate, it's about what, if you say you're going to do something when you get in there, the American people are so fed up because they've had it from the Republican side, they've had it from the Democrat side, they've been told things, they've been told lie after lie after lie after lie, they've been lied to by the mainstream media, they've been abused by their own police departments, they've been abused by the government, they've been stolen from, and it's coming to a head. Every single one of these American citizens out there are either broke, drugged up, fed up, pissed off, and ready for all heck to break loose. And there's some folks that just pray that it happens. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to live in a mess in the middle of America like what's coming down if the American people finally get fed up. It ain't going to be pretty. All you're going to see is a perpetual war in a land that once was called the land of the home and the brave. You know, there's a saying amongst the government. It's called mutual assured destruction. You think the military is the only one that ever figured that out? Mutual assured destruction comes from the average Joe watching his family get murdered by somebody else. American people have been patient. They've been tolerant. They put up with a lot. They've sent their tax money in. Their money's been sent every nation in the world. And they'll keep on doing it. They'll keep on doing it as long as there's peace in the land. But if you bring the firefight to the redneck, you better be ready to go to meet your maker. Period. I've been at some parties in my lifetime that you wouldn't even want to even think about going into. And the people that were present at those parties, I would never want to cross them. I would never want to turn my back on them. And how they got the way that they got is a whole history of all kinds of craziness. Some of it being entitlements, majority of it being drugs, and just society in general deteriorating. When you get locked up in jail, you learn how to be a better criminal. When you come out and you can't get a job and you need some food and housing and a place to sleep, hey, I just go to jail again. Some of them, and I would venture to say the majority of them, they don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about anyone else. All they care about is what you can do for them and what they can steal from you. It's coming, folks. And it's going to come with a vengeance. My suggestion is that everybody start practicing some peace, hope, and love, and some common sense, and get their act together, and get on the tails of these doggone senators and congressmen. Get some term limits in there so these guys and gals ain't in there for 30, 40 years and being able to be bought off and sold out, and watch every single thing that they say and do and record it and put it out there. And when you go to vote this season, I don't care if you write it down on a sticky note and stick it to your forehead or in your pocket or in your wallet. Make some sort of documentation of your doggone vote. And if it comes down to the point where they say that there was massive election fraud and one party or the other stole the doggone vote, you at least got yours right here. Look, this is who I voted for. There are voting machines out there that don't leave no kind of trail whatsoever. Pennsylvania being one of the worst. And so, if you can steal their election over there, you know, you can steal the whole election. And if people stop being able to trust that they actually got a vote, they already don't trust the government. They already don't trust the media. And a lot of them don't even trust each other. If they can't trust that the guy or gal that they wanted to be in the office, that's going to be the straw that broke the camel's back. And when the American people finally pop, when the word starts going from ear to ear by word of mouth throughout this entire nation to all the crazy crackheads, rednecks, gangs, and motorcycle bandits or whatever, when they say that all hell has broken loose and Katie barred the door, it's a free-for-all and every man for himself, sucks to be you walking out the front door of your own office. Seriously. That's what I see coming. Tell me what you see coming. Call in the show. I tell you how to resolve it. I tell you how to fix this whole doggone mess. From start to finish. I can tell you how to get this under control. It ain't going to be going out there protesting the police. It ain't going to be going out there protesting the government. It ain't going to be going out there trashing your own communities. It's going to be by hitting them so hard in the wallet that they can't even afford to put gas in their own limousines anymore. It's going to be hitting them so hard in the wallet that they start getting foreclosed on. When the mainstream media can't get no advertisers on their doggone shows, then they'll turn around. I guarantee you they'll turn around. When they can't make no doggone money anymore because you ain't buying nothing from anybody whose name shows up on ABC or NBC or CNN or Fox News Network or any of the mainstream media outlets or radio stations or whatever. You stop supporting them financially, you stop supporting and feeding the beast that's eating you alive. That's the only way you're going to fix it. Because like somebody said in the comment, you can't fix stupid. And that's a fact. But for those stupid people out there that think they got it, and think they got it figured out, go ahead and stuff them ballot boxes. Go ahead and rig them voting machines. Go ahead and do all the stuff you're doing. You're seeing right now what's going on. The veil is being lifted. They are literally flooding the United States with all kinds of hacked emails and all kinds of information, all kinds of propaganda. And I want you to think real hard about what I'm fixing to say. If you get out there and you're watching the news and you got a view in your mind of what you think America should be, and you hear something contrary to that, you get a little frustrated. When you start seeing the scales of justice getting tampered with, and you see the criminals getting by with things all the time, you get a little more frustrated. When you start going to get what you believe is yours, that you have earned or deserved, and it ain't there for you, you get a little more frustrated. So you've been tolerant, you've been patient, you've been getting frustrated, but you've been maintaining, you've been going to work, you've been doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. You disagree with this segment of society, and you disagree with that choice of the government, or this law, or that law, and you just keep on trying to go. Until one day, it really happens. One day, there's an all-out attack on you. One day there's an all-out attack on your family. One day it's your family member that just got hurt. It's your child. It's your friend. And all that bottled up anxiety and craziness that has been driving you insane all these years, and you've been looking for an excuse to start opening the can of you know what on people. You've been looking for an excuse. You've been ready to go postal forever and a day. And here it is. What better excuse than somebody just hurt your family? And then you pop. That's what you're pushing the American people to, folks. That's what you're pushing them to. Liberals out there stealing elections and stuff like that. Some of you want total anarchy or whatever, and I ain't talking about the anarchy where you know you're just not ruled by government. I'm talking about total anarchy in the sense of everybody's just a free for all going crazy. you really got to watch what you ask for, because you might just end up getting it, and it might just not be what it is that you thought it was going to be. You got rid of the police, you got rid of the government, you got rid of law and order. And now, you thought it was bad walking through the streets of Chicago in the middle of the night and trying to take a shortcut in an alley to get home faster? My God. If you ain't seen it, go watch the series Jericho. Watch it from front to back. Watch the whole entire series. And if that doesn't wake you up, if that doesn't put a bit of concern that you would want that to come down on your family, go back in time, watch a few of the old Road Warrior movies. There's plenty of them out there like that, depicting what life after war would be. Go over to some of these war-torn nations and walk down their streets and see how you fare. If you can't look across the water to see what's going on with these poor individuals, some of which are trying to run up out of the doggone fighting zone and get to safety, and some of the doggone people who are the actual ones actually who are starting the stuff or following the doggone people out, and then get to another nation that takes them in for safety and then starts violating them? Look and see what happened in Europe. And if you think that militaries never come up against their own citizen, take a look at China. Take a look at the Soviet Union. History has already showed that you can't trust the doggone government unless the people are standing there being constantly vigilant and watching and paying attention to what's going on, laws that are being passed, and saying no when it's time to say no and yes when it's time to say yes. Then you get stories like the doggone things that they said that all these different dictators in the world did to the people. I don't know whether you believe in the Holocaust or not. I don't know whether you even believe in Genghis Khan. I don't know what you believe in. But if any of all that was on, the shoe was on the other foot and it was you heading for the oven, or you heading for the guillotine, or your family. See, the best time to stop it all is before it ever even starts. We had World War One. We had World War Two. We had all these different conflicts, everything from Korea to Vietnam to Iraq to Afghanistan to you name it. Goes on and on and on. You tell me where the winners were in any of that. Tell me who it was that won that battle. When you're over here in America and you're going, USA, USA, and all of a sudden here comes the coffins rolling in, your USA just gets a little bit quieter. USA, USA. What's going on here, man? They're bringing bodies back in bags and coffins. This ain't the WWE All-Star Wrestling. This is for real. When people die, they die. And like old Barney Fife said back in the day, whenever the Andy Griffith Show was on and got to nip it in the bud, man, you got to stop it before it starts. We can fix America, and we can fix this world. But when I say we, I mean we. I mean the average Joe. I mean we the people. You already seen what telling somebody else to make choices for you has gotten you. You already seen and heard all the politicians mouthing the words, oh, no new taxes, we'll fight for you, we're going to protect your rights. And if they did a really good job at what they said they were going to do, then I wouldn't be needing to have this conversation right now. I wouldn't be needing to talk about wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famine and corruption and lies and deceit and propaganda and all this madness. We right now are standing on the most amazing creation, or even if you want to believe that it was a total complete accident from some big bang explosion billions of years ago. Whatever you want to believe. The God in the sky or the big flash in the universe, who cares? We are standing on the most amazing invention, creation, accident in the history of time. The Earth is a thermal electric generator, self-contained biosphere of epic proportions, has more than enough resources to withstand 10 to 100 times the population of the 9 billion that are on this planet right now. There is absolutely nothing that you're ever going to run out of. You ain't going to run out of crude oil. You ain't going to run out of anything. Every single chemical that was ever created on this planet is still on this planet. When you're done with it, nature absorbs it back out. The same processes that put it there before put it back again. When you pollute the water on this side, it filters out to clean water on that side. You chop down an entire forest and an entire forest grows up on the other side of the hill. Stop mowing your lawn for 2 weeks. Stop mowing your lawn for 2 months. Heck, give it 2 years. You ain't even going to be able to notice that piece of property anymore. Now, if you ever decide you want to use it, you got to take the chainsaw out there to cut down all the trees and pull up all the stumps. So the Earth has got it, man. The Earth has got it figured out. Now it's up for us to figure it out. It's up for us to figure out how to work in harmony with what nature has already provided and start feeding people, start putting roofs over their heads and clothes on their back and medicine when they need it. The alternative is to get wrapped up in this Fox News Network, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, propaganda from the Soviet Union, propaganda from America, propaganda from China, propaganda from all the different nations of this world, Europe, Britain, all of them. From all your elected leaders who you sent out there and gave the authority to make decisions for you. When the only ones that are ever going to suffer when it's all said and done is the guy on the bottom, the average Joe. There is a pyramidal structure out there, all the way up to the ruling elite, up at the capstone of the pyramid. Now I'm saying it's time for the American people and the people of the world in general to literally take the base of that pyramid out from underneath the structure up there that they call the capstone. When you ain't got the base of the tree, the rest of the tree ain't going to stand. When you ain't got the base of the pyramid, the capstone ain't going to be up there no more. We can fix this thing. But you're going to have to run these words clear out as far as you can in every doggone direction and get that common sense in the heads of all the people out there going insane before they snap. So, you're listening to The Knights of the Round Table at ShazizRadio.com. I just threw a rant out there. Anybody else want to jump on here and rant? Anybody else got anything you want to say? Thomas, are you there?
Yeah, I've just been listening, man.
It's frustrating because you know that you have the potential as a society of humans, beings, or whatever, to literally do amazing things and to boldly go where no man has gone before. And the best that we can come up with is what we see before our very eyes. Crime, corruption, craziness. Everyone out there wants to call everyone else a racist or a homophobe or whatever. All these, I don't even know where these terms come from. But if you disagree with anybody, there's a term for you. What's it going to take to get people to start working together? What's it going to take? Any ideas?
I mean, I throw my ideas out there. People have heard what I've had to say.
Yeah, I know it gets to the point where, you know, how many times you got to say the same doggone thing? You know, it's like hollering down a sewer pipe at a crowd of people having a party at the other end. They don't care what you're talking about. Matter of fact, they'll probably start throwing beer bottles up the sewer pipe at you. You could be sitting there telling them their lives in danger and they just go on about it. And I'm wondering, man, I'm wondering, is the whole world like that? Is it just my perception of the world that, you ever been watching a spooky movie or any drama where you can see the bad guy sneaking up on somebody and you see the doggone victim either just sitting there or doing something completely stupid and you find yourself yelling at the screen, get up, stupid, get up, run, look behind you. And they always get killed. Why is that? Silence is deafening. Are you still there?
Nope.
We can fix it, man. We can fix it all. We can fix the whole so-called perceived energy crisis. We can fix everything that's broken in this world. We can fix it. We have the tools. We have the technology. Now what we need is the willpower. Now what we need is people to really want to do it. See, the thing about this whole mess is, if you take any average family out there, they'll spend years ignoring one another. They'll fight with each other amongst the family during the year and not talk to each other, not call each other up, not socialize with each other. But the moment one of the family members dies, they all rush there to the doggone funeral to pay their last respects. It shouldn't take a tragedy to bring a family, but it seems to me that it's going to take a major tragedy to bring this world around. You see it in every nation out there, in every disaster. You see people coming to the aid and the rescue of people who have went through a hurricane or an earthquake or major fire or whatever. You see it all the time. You can actually physically see the goodness of in the hearts of man. But why don't you lift the brother or sister up out of the doggone ditch and then you turn around and decide to go to war with them afterwards? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Now, am I crazy? Is none of this real? Is all of this fear porn that the doggone alternative media and the mainstream media have propagated on us to get to sell us drugs and guns and ammunition and supplies to survive? To get us to follow some sort of agenda? You know, I've been mocked many a times because I say I'm a Christian, and I've had people cuss me because they don't believe the Bible or whatever. But I'm looking at that book in a whole different way than everybody else out there. If the world is what this says and the book is what that said, I don't know which side is really seriously worse. Reality or the fiction that they claim it is. But what amazes me is that in one portion of this book, it talks about this exact same thing that I'm sitting here talking about that I see in the world out there. So, they're telling me the boogeyman's there. Some folks believe in Bigfoot. Some folks believe in aliens. Some folks believe in all kinds of... People believe in tons and tons of different stuff. And they have the right to do so, but I don't have the right to feel and believe what I believe because this brings me peace. Who started that fight? Who started all the divide and conquer with the nations of the world? Who was it? Is the wealthy elite actually out there doing this to people? Why are they allowed to do so? Why do we, the people, sit idly by and let them do what they do to each other? Well, as far as the elite and the corporations and those in charge, they're not doing it to each other per se. They're mostly doing it to the cattle out there. Some people call us sheeple, you know. I don't want to be a food source. I don't want to be a slave. I don't want to be none of this craziness that everybody keeps saying that we are. I want to be a person. A living soul with the freedom to choose and do what I want to do as long as I bring no harm to nobody else. These folks can't be allowed to steal elections, even though we know they have. These folks can't be allowed to commit crimes that you and I would go to jail for. And I ain't sitting here saying that we got to have our pitchforks and our whatever and go storm the castle. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you got to keep the ball rolling on the noise that is basically showing the people the truth of what's really going on in this world as opposed to what they're trying to tell you is going on in this world. There's folks out there that believe the earth is flat. Prove it. There's folks out there that believe the earth is round. Prove it. It's hollow. Prove it. It's concave. Prove it. If there's aliens, prove it.
It's shaped like a baked potato. Prove it.
If you can see the baked potato and you can pick it up and you can look at it, then obviously your perception of its shape is that. But until you get to space far enough back where you can get a good picture of the overall deal, until you can trust the folks that are handing down information, don't sit around and argue about it. Get out there, do the math, do the research, and prove it. Period. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Monica Lewinsky. And then he turned around and he confessed on live TV and apologize for lying to the American people. Bill Clinton was my hero back when I considered myself a Democrat. Because what I saw in America, it looked like everything was going well. We had plenty of money. We had everything was doing all right. He looked good on TV. He was easy to listen to. But before I got into what politics was all about, before I knew the real difference between a Republican and a Democrat, before I knew the difference between a democracy and a representative republic, which we are a representative republic, I was clueless. I was the average Joe out there believing the nice face on TV that said that everything's going to be good. Now I wish I could go back and not know. Now I wish I'd never listened to the news. I wish I'd never even heard of Alex Jones or any of the alternative media out there. I wish that I could tiptoe through the tulips just like everybody else and just be surprised when the nuclear bomb and the mushroom cloud go up over the horizon. Because now that I see that there's a potential of danger for the world, now I can't sit idly by and not say nothing about it. Now I got to get involved. Now I got to get up off the couch and say something or write a letter. I can't just walk away. I don't know. Pretty interesting world we live in. So, Thomas, did you see any of the links that I posted in yesterday? No? Okay. Apparently I lost Thomas. Alright, so anyway.
Having a cough and sit over here.
Oh.
Good old middle America allergies.
The world that we
I'm allergic to BS.
Well, tell me what side of the BS that I spewed, man.
Not necessarily what you said. I've been having an allergic reaction to almost every day since this election started.
It's a mess. I don't even like to even talk about it, but it's the doggone thing is one of the main guys over there in the Soviet Union, Russia over there, one of the main guys over there was talking about a vote for Hillary is a vote for war. Alright, now Hillary's on the doggone on the debate, and she's saying things like, well, Russia's hacked us. Russia's committed espionage against us. She's accusing Russia of doing stuff. Well, if you're Russia, and you're Putin, and you're getting accused of stuff that you either are doing or you ain't doing, either way, regardless, you don't like to hear it. Somebody's telling the world that you're hacking their stuff and trying to interfere in their elections. And so, if she does get elected, what's to stop her from starting World War III? You know? Maybe that's what they want. All I'm saying is this. If all of this is a bunch of lies and propaganda, if the mainstream media can't be trusted, why do people keep turning the doggone TV back on?
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to see some sort of movement towards common sense. I'd just like to see people start spreading messages that are good messages and saying, look, there's this crazy guy out there that's got this wild hair, calls himself a mad scientist, that does these shows talking about all kinds of stuff, and he says we can fix it.
Well, that's just plain crazy.
You had the same thought I did. Look, it's 80 degrees in my doggone room right now. 80 degrees. All right? It's probably about 50 outside.
80 degrees in Shazizland?
Yeah, in my room. I posted a link inside the video, or inside the chat room over there, where I took a solar comfort heater that has four 375-watt infrared lamps inside of it, which I think loosely calculates to, what, 1,500 volts or 1,500 watts? Is that right?
Hmm.
Four 375? What's the math on that?
Man, you're just throwing numbers at me.
Alright, well, either way, it's about 1,500 watts. Alright?
Okay.
Well, the bulbs cost $14 a piece. And so it was running on four 375 watt bulbs, and now it is heating my room with 240 watts. I'm only using 240 watts to heat my room with that same heater that originally took four 375 watt bulbs.
Hmm.
So, I went from 1500 watt usage down to 240 watt usage. In my bathroom, I have another heater called an Eden Pure. Initially, it was 900 watts. I'm now heating my bathroom with 60 watts.
Hmm.
So I would say that there's a chance that we can solve problems in the world. I just took a chunk out of my light bill because I don't have to use 1,500 watts for the other, and I don't have to use 900 for the other. I got 240 on one and 60 on the other. And if it gets colder than it is outside now, and I need more wattage, then I can step it up a little bit at a time until I get to... It's like a piggy bank. I got 1,500 watts max that I can run on this deal. All right, I can step it up to from 60 watts in the bathroom to, let's say, 75 watts. If that don't do the job, I can go up to 100 watts. If that doesn't do the job, I can go up to 150 watts. But either way, I'm still way under the 900 watts, just like in the other one in here in my room that I'm only running off of 240 watts. And it's 80 degrees in here. I'd say that's doing pretty doggone good. I slept comfortably last night. Didn't get cold at all. So what do you think, man?
I think the first thing you said basically along way back in the conversation was to basically cut down on how much we're putting into it. Like you're doing with those heaters, we need to cut down how much we're putting into the government.
Yep. Yep. We need to stop feeding that doggone thing. See, that's what's been going on all this time. You take a space heater and you take a government, the two things that they have in common is they both... hogging everything. They're hogging all the energy. They're hogging all the money. And they don't need that kind of energy. And they don't need that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
And we can fix it. Doggone people, if you look back in time, they say that the doggone tax situation is voluntary. They say that it's all voluntary. You volunteered. Well, if it's true and you volunteered and you disagree, then find the legal loophole to get out. Donald Trump, they sat there and talked about Donald Trump was not paying federal income taxes, and that's what Hillary was trying to make Donald look bad by. Well, he had the point. He said, well, change the law then. If I can't take those exemptions, if it's legal for me to take those exemptions, why should I not take those exemptions? Your side of the party takes those exemptions. All your friends take those exemptions. If it's not legal for me to do this, then I wouldn't be doing it. So, if it's legal for him to not have to pay certain federal income taxes, then they don't got no beef over him. But what they do is they turn around and they say it to the average Joe. Oh, look, he's rich and he don't pay no federal income tax. Really? I'm sure there are loopholes there for the poor people. I'm sure there's the loopholes there for the middle class, the average Joe out there. But the question is, are you educated enough to know what those loopholes are? Have you done the research to find out what you can or can't do? I know a lady that took magazines and newspapers and went through and snipped out coupons out of the doggone paper where everybody else just threw them in the trash. She'd snip them out. She'd store them. She'd organize them. She'd go shopping. She'd save a whole lot of money with these coupons, throw the money in a jar, and had spending money, you know, after all the bills were paid. Personally, I thought that was brilliant. She took the time to cut these coupons, and she saved all this money because she knew that there was a loophole in going to the grocery store. There ain't no reason why everybody else couldn't do that. Imagine if everybody who went shopping used every possible coupon that they could at that store. Imagine that. What do you think, Thomas? Are you having another coughing fit? All right, well,
No, it's hard to cough from underneath the bus.
Oh, well, while you're down there, can you check the gear lube and transmission and all that?
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying, look, I've been trying to do this deal with alternative energy for a long time. I watch a lot of different people get discouraged and walk away because it's almost like... It's almost like talking to the wall. When you got all these ideas and you're throwing them out there and trying to open a dialogue with people and the continuous onslaught of discouragement, lack of appreciation, even the shenanigans that YouTube plays on people, you know, putting videos way at the bottom of the list and, you know, giving people foul mouth heathens the top billing on the deal because they got millions of views or listeners or whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's just, I hate to say it, but our doggone society's ass backwards, man. Period. We're upside down. It just... I don't get it. I just don't get it. If you got a drug in Canada that can cure cancer, or even the common cold for that matter, and you can't bring it to the United States, something wrong with that picture. If you got medicine in the United States that you can't get in Canada... that could benefit somebody, and you can't get that, then something's wrong with this world. If people stand in line for years to try to become a citizen of the United States, and other people can go under the fence and become citizens quicker, then I think the word would be go around and tell the one standing in line, hey, don't worry about that line, just come over here. Go into the fence. Hey, and you, Mr. Terrorist, you go in the fence too, man. It's free-for-all. Parties in America. And American citizens are paying. You think that other nations ain't figured this out? You think that Europe ain't got a taste of it, or France, or Germany, or any of them? You think none of these folks have figured this out? They put their hands out. They're some of the most giving people. They help people out and turn around and get bit for it. Got to be some way to rein in all the knuckleheads of the planet, man. And I don't want to hear no doggone euthanasia or killing people off. I ain't talking about killing nobody. That's what got us in this mess to begin with. You think if the whole story about Cain and Abel and killing your brother with a rock didn't ever come around, that people in this world wouldn't be killing each other? There's plenty of death and destruction to see on TV and video games and everything like that. You know, it may just very well be a case that we've already died and went to hell and just don't know it. You know, wake up and find out, wait a second, it's like that commercial. The guy goes in there and opens up the, or he first goes in there and there's cookies all over the table, man. It's just cookies everywhere. So he starts eating the dang cookie and then he goes over to the refrigerator and there ain't no milk in there. So he originally thought he was heaven and then he realized that now he's in hell because he's going to eat all them cookies and get a dry mouth and can't ain't got nothing to wash ain't got nothing to wash it down with.
Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah. Stephen Gibbons says the solutions are simple. We just need all to agree on them, getting everyone aware of the problems as one half and getting them to agree on the solution is the other. Yeah.
I thought half the solution was knowing. And the other half was 25% red lasers and 25% blue lasers.
I don't know, man. All I know...
Don't call me out from underneath the bus.
All I know is I've been told time and time and time again that the world is in a doggone mess. The world is in chaos. There's corruption everywhere. There's a terrorist behind every bush and all that kind of jazz. Well, heck, let's just burn all the bushes down so they ain't got no place to hide, man.
Sure, where's the Agent Orange?
Yeah. We'll
get right on that.
Throw some Agent Orange down there. And deny,
get right on that, man.
Deny that it's harmful to your health for people. That way, years later, you don't get sued.
Well, now they're not going to deny that it's harmful for your health. They're just going to say, which is more harmful, that or this?
Yeah, see,
They'll do the comparison trick to try to get people to say, okay, go ahead and put that on my lawn.
The terrorist's going to kill you right now. You'll have 20 years after this.
Yeah.
What do you want, 20 years or now? That's kind of logic. That's kind of logic they use.
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody said something about I agree. I'm going to look in there. Yeah, it was just about the comment I said earlier. Anyway.
Is it maybe time for a music break?
Maybe getting close. But we need to... I say we because I do it every day. I get out there, I look and see what's going on, I point pertinent information to people, and tried to spread peace, hope, and love to everybody. Tried to talk to them about networking with each other and getting together and saying and doing, working on things. And, you know, to some extent, it's coming to pass. It's just, what's moving faster? The right over the balls in the barrel, or the solution to deter the barrel from ever going over the falls? So it's kind of like that terminology, or that phrase, a day late and a dollar short. You know, you go to buy something at the store and you sold out a day ago, and even at that you were a dollar short to buy it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
We can't afford to be a day late and a dollar short. I mean, if you care about this world, you got to do something, anything. Even if it's as simple as spreading a doggone podcast link so other people can hear what we're talking about. Because we're not the only ones out here talking about it. We're not the only ones out here trying to do stuff about it. The alternative media, it's like the mainstream media to some extent. There might be a few good people involved in the deal. There might be a few bad people involved in the deal. There might be opportunists out there trying to take advantage and scare the crud out of people to get things. Yeah. And it might just be a case that some people just like to sit around and watch the Jerry Springer show to see who's hollering about what. Ain't nothing funny about somebody sleeping with their sister. It's disgusting. But in certain societies, that might be honorable. Jerry. If you go to vote this year, folks, which I encourage you to go vote. Vote your conscience. If you want to vote for Hillary, vote for Hillary. If you want to vote for, you know, Trump, vote for Trump. If you want to vote for whoever you want to vote for, just vote. Just make sure that when you vote, you document who you voted for. In case all heck breaks loose and we have to do some sort of recount. Because as it stands, if you think that there ain't no doggone election fraud, then Thomas has got a bridge with one of the original Beatles albums signed by all the different people in the Beatles from all the years of the Beatles, and a $3 bill to sell you for 50 cents.
$0.50, man. Inflation. I want $2.
Oh, $2 now. Well, what about $3.50? Because I got to get my cut.
11-12.
All right, we're going to take a music break. And I think maybe I'll come back and talk about how you can take a space heater and change it to get more heat out for less. Or something.
Getting more for less, man.
Yeah.
That's the American dream.
Yeah.
I believe the saying is, it's too late.
Yeah,
it's late. Always been too late.
Day late and a dollar short. Don't start a fight with the American people if you ain't willing to die. Period. And I think Justin wants you to vote for him for president. All right. Peace and love, everybody. Listen to the Knights of the Round Table. Stay tuned.
nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Alright, so apparently we have already went over the falls in the barrel. We just hadn't realized we got here because we're punch drunk. If everybody's been mentally forced into everything, and if we can't vote for who we choose to vote for, we have to, you know, if you got to pick the lesser of two evils,
vote Clump.
Vote Clump or Trillery. Oh, man. Look. I just want to get our act together, man. That's it. No, check this out.
We're going to take it on the road once we get together?
Check this out, yeah. You guys got the round to it already. But yesterday, I was watching a video about micronations. Have you ever heard of micronations? Yeah, no?
Nope.
All right, well, there were some folks that took some abandoned property, and some of them took deserted islands, and they went to these islands, and they went to these abandoned properties, like, right outside of, like, I think one of them was in Florida, one of them was in the Bahamas, and several different ones, and they literally claimed their own sovereignty and claimed their own nation and threw up their own flag and their own system of government and all that kind of stuff. One of which, the military of the neighboring, world or whatever, came over and conquered them and took it back over anyway. Another one of them, they blew it up. They blew up this deal so they couldn't use it anymore. Anyway, so maybe that's what we need to do. We need to have our own micro nation, you know? Find us that island of doggone trash, floating bottles out there in the ocean. and put some fishnets on it and drag them all together and throw some dirt and stuff and build us a big giant floating island and put a few trolling motors on there with solar power so we can like go left and right when we want, you know, to kind of dodge or buck, dodge, duck, bob, weave, whatever. And just start our own doggone society, man. That's it. Until the very first tsunami wave comes along and rips the shreds of our bottled island apart. I didn't say it was a good plan.
Do some trigonometry, man.
Yeah. Some physics. No, you know, there's ways to make an unsinkable ship. You know, there's a lot of materials out there that you could do that with. I've seen some boats that they make. You can cut them in half, and both halves afloat. Pretty interesting, huh?
Hmm.
You know what?
Hmm. You're supposed to say things that make you go, hmm.
Hmm. So.
Jinky.
If they got a boat out there that you can take a 50 caliber machine gun and shoot it at the deck of the boat and just punch holes all up inside that thing and it'll still float, then why can't we solve world issues? Huh? Cook it.
Yep, jinky.
All right, so, you know, I basically took a 1500 watt heater, modified it, now it's running off of 240 watts, and it is heating my room. And I also took another heater that was initially 900 watts, and I modified it, and now it is only using 60 watts, and it's heating my bathroom. So, what do you think?
Jinky.
Man, you guys are like the epitome of great conversation.
Hey, at least I'm not coughing.
So, Justin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, I'm here.
So what, man,
he ain't here. Nobody's here.
Randy Clem, come on in.
What are we gonna do, man?
There's nothing you can do. Man's
gotta be something to do.
Guys are worried about their high heels and purses, and guys are worried about their golf clubs and their bikes.
Man.
Are you one of those nothing we can do about the whole situation crowd people?
Why worry about that when you can be doing something?
I am doing something.
Right, we're all doing something, so if we're all doing something, then there's something being done. We're flying, we've got video games, we got technology that saves people from dying. Like, we're always constantly advancing.
Alright, let me ask you a question. Alright? Justin's on a bus. The bus is screaming down the highway at 70 miles an hour. Suddenly the windshield like starts to wobble and stuff, right?
And stuff, man.
Yeah, windshield starts to wobble. And a couple of doors are starting to open up on their own. They're about to fall off. And somebody runs over and they grab on the door. Somebody throws some duct tape across the window and stabilizes it. And meanwhile, the driver's like, you know, he's got both feet on the gas pedal. And you're just building speed and flying down the road. And he's texting on his cell phone. You're on the road, you're off the road, you're on the road, you're off the road. And everything's just going crazy. What? Next thing you know, a fight breaks out in the middle of the bus. There's a couple of people beating the heck out at each other. Somebody pulls a gun on one of the passengers while the other one over there is pickpocketing some dude who's asleep. And Justin's in the back of this bus right there. Alright? And so, as you're flying down the road and all these things are going on, and there's even more happening, man. It's just the whole bus erupts into total chaos. There's stuff flying everywhere. You're blazing down the road. And so you got to look and you got to prioritize. What the heck is the biggest danger that we've got so far? What do you do?
Kick Justin off the bus. Oh. Throw the baby out. We got to get rid of this bathwater.
What do you do, Justin?
I don't even know what you said. I was looking at Facebook at some girl.
That's sweet.
Well, that's the real problem with it all.
That's my point exactly. 99.9% of all
when
people
is voting
out
for
have
a president
no
ever
idea
done
what
anything.
We said.
What have we, you know, we've done nothing but hinder ourselves. You know, if we look at the Declaration of Human Rights and this and that, it says everybody should develop to their fullest ability and this and that. We have the right to sciences. Yeah, okay, turn on the fucking TV. Oh, sorry, my language. Right? The psychosis, the mental disease of this whole system is just mess. There's no fixing it. Just do what you can while you're here. That's what it is. We can't dwell on any of it. If we all sit there and dwell on it, what's going to happen? We're just going to end up like, you know, frogs in the pond with somebody sitting there pouring chlorine in it. The frogs are just
so
sitting
why
there.
Would you even
that's
join,
what we're doing.
Why would you even join the conversation if that's what you believe, that there's nothing you can say that'll make a difference in the world? Why waste your time?
We can't say nothing. The only thing we can do is just do. We're all doing our part, right?
But when you say we, are you talking about the mouse in your pocket, or are you talking about we, the people of the world?
We're all trying to do something. We all have an agenda. Some of us might not know what it is, but some of us are trying to do things, right? Like, yeah, okay, free energy. There's no such thing as free energy, because you're the man that's creating the device or apparatus, however you want to put it. And you're showing that it can be done. Look, I put this doohickey and that doohickey together, and look, I'm charging up 4 12-volt batteries from the car, right? Yeah, that's awesome. We're all trying to make better and do better.
But if we sit there and we
dwell on other people's problems, the world has a problem.
You just said that there's no free energy to a man who sits there and says all the time, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it, because we're floating in it.
What do you mean?
We're floating in a sea of free energy, and you're sitting there telling me
we
that
are
there's
free
no such
energy.
Thing as free energy.
For the amount of time and the time domain that we're here, we can create things with the hands that we've been given. And money, you know, like, I can go to work and for 40 hours a week and make money to buy an amplifier or this. Or I can go and I can learn and I can pick up the junk from the ground and do a better job. It doesn't matter. You're spending the time. You're focused on something. The world's sick. It's an audacious problem.
So
it's doing it, right? You're advocating, let's do better. We are all doing better. We're doing some part of it, definitely. We're all trying, right? I've been going to school, and there is a world problem, right? Like last year, I get on the bus, everybody's doing their thing. This year, the bus driver's talking about how bad it is for the kids, how sick the schools are, this and that. I get to the school, the teachers are talking about how bad it is. Right? A teacher here makes $60,000 a year. Okay, that's one. That's the teacher that's there. His spouse, or her spouse of that teacher, right, makes $60,000 a year. Now they have good money. But now the spouse loses their job, and they've bought a bigger house, they've had 2 cars, maybe even 3, and a boat, and this and that. They've lived that good life of $120,000 a year, and now one lost their job. Now, do you think they can afford those steaks and those golf clubs and everything else? No. The teachers are saying, what is going on? Everybody's saying it. I see it. I'm on the bus every day to go to school. I see all these problems. I recognize it. But we can't just fix anything. To make a good pizza or have change, it's got to get worse. And it is going to get worse. You talk about the Holocaust and Nam and all these things, the conquistador and all of our histories show that it's going to fall. Rome. Everything is falling over and over and over.
So, but you think
how do
that...
Hold on a second.
You think that just because Rome and all the history, all these different nations and empires fell, that it has to be so that this particular one has to fall too? You think that if they had somebody back in the day who could communicate with the masses and point things out, that they couldn't come to a resolution and fix it before it happened?
No. What president hasn't lied?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter that they're secret societies. So
if all the presidents have lied in this era, what difference is this era from Rome or from the go all the way back to the Paleolithic?
I'll tell you the difference.
It happens over and over and over and over and over.
I'll tell you the difference. Back during Roman time, they had to send message by a horse. We can sit here and ship out message to hand over fist. It's like the internet. The internet is a cool tool. It's an awesome research deal. It also has its flaws. But if the doggone internet was used to its proper extent, and you could educate people around the world to show them possibilities and that there is hope and that everything isn't all doom and gloom, then you could come to some sort of solution that people can work with.
Right, but which we're all doing. We're all doing that. More kids are learning off of the internet than anything.
No, you're saying we are all...
Thomas can put out a report about a chemistry thing on a little paper and make it better. I go to school and I'm watching, we're watching YouTube. That's how we're learning now in school.
You're saying that we are all doing it. There's 9 billion people on the planet. A very small majority of them are even on the internet. And so, with that said, we all aren't feeding the hungry. We all aren't sheltering the homeless and
we all have different ways of doing good for another.
Of course we do.
And right, you put a whole bunch of random people in a room that don't know each other. What's going
to
happen?
Because
man loves empathy, right? They want to be close, right? So you put a whole bunch of people in a room together. First, they're going to not talk and this and that, but then they're going to come together. It's always like that.
But they're look.
It's fixing to get muddier.
there is. So many different possibilities. There is nothing on this planet that cannot be fixed. Nothing. There is no environmental disaster that can't be cleaned up. There is nothing that we're ever going to run out of. The only problem that we've got is a communication gap between those who have studied, between those who have not studied, between those who are greedy, those who just flat out corrupt, and some just flat out rotten. Now, there are 9 billion people on this planet. There are a small minority of those who say we need to depopulate the planet. Which means, out of those 9 billion people, many people gotta go. And so, with that said, if the 9 billion people on the planet decided that they didn't want a lot of people to go, then the 9 billion people on the planet would get their way and a lot of people would not go. Period. If we are hopeless to do anything about any of the problems in this world, then there's no point for this show. There's no point for me to talk to you or anybody else in this world. If it is all beyond hope, then Shaziz Radio gets shut down, Shaziz YouTube gets shut down, everything gets shut down, and I just go on and live out the rest of my life with my family and make the best out of a bad situation. So the day that I stop believing that there's a possibility that we can motivate people with the words coming up out of our mouth, there is power in the spoken word. There's power in your action. There's power of the pen. And if you utilize that power, if the people of this world utilize that power on masses, you can get the attention of the right people to get things done. For over 30, 40 years of my life, I've been hearing and seeing commercials on TV about starving babies in the world. And I'm asking the question to the world, why? Why is there still starvation in the world after all these years with all the technology that we have at our disposal right now?
Vanity. Belief. I, my, me. Ego. Individualism. Right? That's what it's all about. They've created this monarchy, or however you want to say it. When we say they, it's us. We're the teachers, we're the firemen, we're the government, we are. And we're living in in an era that shoes and high heels are, that's what works, man. Money. That's what makes the world go around, right? And money is really just a representation of us. Because we dig the gold out of the ground. We dig the oil out of the ground. Right? We do it all. When we let go of, when we let go of that time that we devote to them, our taxes, right? In all forms. When we walk off the plank and they fall, it's probably going to be too late. But we try it again in this era, just like the past and the past and the past and the past.
Well, hypothetically, what if this was the very last go for humanity? What if all the times of the past, of everything, the civilizations that ever existed, what if the one came up, they got destroyed, next one came up, they got destroyed, and history repeated itself, and this was the very last chance for humanity to get their act together? Would you want to sit around and discourage everyone out there and say, well, there's nothing we can do about it, because if you look back through history and all the different indoctrination and all the craziness going on, we let them do this and we do this and whatever, there's no way we can fix it. Would you want to sit around and discourage the rest of the population out there and get them to not step up to the gate to do something about it before it actually falls?
The only way that man knows how to do anything about anything right now is how? Shoot somebody, pick up a gun, fight, protest? But we went to school and we were taught to write a letter if we had a problem and file it. You see? So, I'm not saying that you can't do nothing. You're doing what you're doing. Right? You're making your doohickeys. I'm doing things at the church. People are trying to change things, but the majority is going to be in that high heels and golf clubs. I'll put an analogy this way. Back in your day when you're 20s and 30s, there was a lot of mom and pop shops. But now, the only jobs out there are government jobs. And government jobs pay and feed the families. That's the majority. They've taken the majority, our fighting chance, away. We have to build that mom and pop shop back. That's the only way, because that puts the money back in our pockets. They've taken it from us in every way, right? You gotta have a license of,
well, I would submit
for everything
to you
now.
That they didn't necessarily take it as much as we gave it.
That's right. It's a psychosis. That's why they play all this psychiatrist and psychology things in school and family and children services and the police departments and the court systems. You see, the character assassinate us. The character means personality. But yet they put it in the declaratories and the freedoms of, you know, human rights and everything, that you should flourish and fully develop to your personality, right? So that you can create something that is, you know, beautiful. But they've hindered us, right? So how do we react? Do we protest? Do we fight? Look at the thing that happened in Oregon, right? We know what happens when you pick up a gun. And they're trying to do that. They're trying to take that away from everybody. You know, Canada, nobody carries a gun. We all leave our front doors unlocked and everything. You know, you go to Toronto or something, yeah, it's a little different there. It's a little more multicultural. But everybody's trying to do something. You know, that's how you attract most of your people, by all your videos. Look, you inspired a 15-year-old child from halfway across the world.
And one inspiration's good, two inspirations better, and the more the merry, and the more that we can get people out there having these discussions, working towards things, and getting ideas on the table, that people know that they have options available to them, that they know that the power of the pen is a power that they can utilize to make changes in the world.
That's what we can be. We can just be awe-inspiring to
that's
other
people.
That's
what we've been doing, Justin. That's why I keep getting frustrated.
We can't talk about Trump and Hillary because that really is just a psychosis,
right? We got to talk about Trump and Hillary. We got to talk about them, because if you see what's going on right now, they are pushing the doggone buttons. It's going to get the average Joe riled up. That's it. And what we got to try to do is try to be the calm voice in the situation that says, look, these guys are corrupt. You know they're corrupt. Stop feeding them. You know, that's as simple as that. But we can't sit around and say, well, you know, there ain't nothing we can do about it. You know, we can do something about it. And a lot of us are doing something about it. But we need more people to believe in themselves enough to know that they can get up and do something about it. That's the point. Otherwise, this show is worthless. If the words coming out of my mouth are just a bunch of babble, then this show's worthless. And if it's worthless,
not worthless at all.
Then I got to continue to stand up here on the side of the mountain and shout it out until we can draw a crowd and we can show them this is how I took a 1500 watt doggone heater and now I'm running it off of 240 watts and I'm all nice and toasty in my room, whereas before I was freezing.
Perfect. You left Trump and Hillary out. That's awesome. That's the better part of it.
I can talk about them. Watch.
No, I'm not saying that we shouldn't talk about it, but like some days, like I've heard you like get so depressed on here, and there's so much more to you than you know you getting into it like that. Like you know, well, you're an amazing person.
Not bad science. Don't feed the lizards.
Well, like I said, I have a belief that I can at least shout something out that will give somebody a pertinent link. You know, look at the work that Stephen Gibbons does in the chat room all the time. He's always putting links and brilliant links in there. Alright? Look at the work that you guys do behind the scenes as far as your research and stuff. Brilliant stuff. What we need is to bring people to the doggone table just like you. We need all the pieces of the puzzle to come together to solve these problems once and for all, because you can't get it through any representation such as Hillary or Trump. Trump's saying everything the people want to hear. He right. may almost get elected, and Hillary may steal the election. Who knows? But regardless, we can't rest our future, our hopes, on some candidate out there who may just be telling us what we want to hear in order to get things done. We need to rely on we, the people, coming together, networking, like Thomas is always saying, and going to each other's places and working on things together and getting things done.
Right. Creating those mom and pop shops. Teaching our kids. Making time for our kids.
Yeah. See, you might get elected, you know, they might get elected, and then, you know, they say, oh, did he vote for me? Yes, he did. Okay, off with his head. Why? He said, he outlived his usefulness. That's about what we got in there for candidates right now.
Well, we need to hold their feet to the fire while looking ahead and keeping accountable for our own actions and make things happen in this world, because, like I said before, if the best time to stop World War III is before it ever even gets started. The best time to stop any conflict is before it ever even starts. Nip it in the bud, like What's-His-Face says all the time. Barney Fife. But if we're not willing to at least get together and start to discuss these things and get more people to the table to discuss these things and put the resolutions on the table, get people motivated to believing that all hope is not lost. If it's all doom and gloom and that's all there is to it, Shaziz Radio isn't a fear porn site. We don't get everybody here to try to scare them and say, this is all terrible and we're going to all die, send me money. No, we get them here and I say, we got a mess to clean up and who wants to help me? That's it. You know, offered the microphone to everybody and his brother out there. Don't drop the F-bomb on my show. Don't drop the S-bomb on my show. Just come on here, talk respectfully, get your point across. Let's figure out ways around it. Because of, when you're going over the barrel, unless you got some sort of Batman grappling hook which you can shoot up and grab a hold of something and hang on, you're going to crash. Plain and simple. And I see our nation, I see this world going over the falls in a barrel. I see us going down the mountainside in a grocery cart. And I'm along for the ride. My children are along for the ride. We're all along for the ride. And those of us who believe that there is a possibility, we get on this radio show and we talk about it. We show them that there's things out there. We discuss alternative energy stuff on Saturdays. We discuss world events and things, the ways to fix them. You know, are you obligated to pay your taxes? Will you go to prison for not paying your taxes? We got to find these things out. But if you're watching CNN, MSNBC, and ABC, and Fox News Network, and their advertisers are paying them money hand over fist, and you wonder why they're still able to lie to you?
You know, they've never once sent me a thank you card for paying my taxes.
No, they don't do that. They'll send you a threat if you're late. You get a driver's license, drive down the road, you get pulled over, you know it's going to cost you money. Unless you get the one nice guy in the one nice mood who uses his officer discretion and figures he don't want to write a ticket for you today and let you go down the road with a warning. But for the most part, 98% of the time you get pulled over, it costs you money. So, drive like Grandpa, stay on the right side of the road and in between the lines, and don't give them no excuse to pull you over. Keep your head low, and stay off the government's radar. You know, like we do here on Shaziz Radio when Thomas is always hollering out, BOMB! Terrorist! I want the government to open a dialogue with me. I want the secret societies of the world to open a dialogue with me. I want the people of the world to open the dialogue. I want everybody to get out here, sit down at the table, and let's work it out. Because the alternative is, we get in a big old feud. Second Civil War in the United States, or worst case scenario, World War III. But for all you tough guys out there that believe that you could win a second Civil War, whether you be in the military or the civilian or the militia, whatever, you got another thing coming. And if you think that you're one of the global elite and you're going to go up inside the government bunker for continuity of government, you're going to be protected for all the years with all the storage and food you got in there, you better think again.
You're going to be the first one to get robbed.
That's right. You're going to seal your fate whenever you go inside that tomb because you ain't coming back out. The people out here are... If Planet X is blasting in and it's going to get us, and we see all the government elite going down inside the bunkers, you think they're going to wait for the planet to get hit and then come back out while leaving us all hanging in the wind? No. There's going to be bulldozers, tractors, backhoes, and concrete trucks sealing the lid. You ain't coming back out. We may be going to die, but it's mutual assured destruction. You're going down too.
Bunch of criminals.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Brown. Yeah, we're from the NSA. Well, you got a pretty mouth, boy.
Man, I told you it was about to get muddy in here.
Yep. All I'm saying is that folks out there that think they got it figured out better get their act together, because when it goes down, when America falls on its face, the world's going to follow.
When it comes around, it's going to go around?
Yep. When the axe falls this time around, everybody's head's under the block.
Yeah, it's going to be at an RPM you ain't ready for.
That's right. And so I'm saying... You know, I'm seeing...
What about BM?
They're going to sweep your neighborhood quickly.
I'm saying, nip it in the bud before it gets started. Spread the word like the plague. Get your act together. Thomas Jefferson said, the price to freedom was eternal vigilance. If you like your freedom, you better pay attention. Because there's somebody out there all the time wanting something from you. Whether it be the doggone bill collector, or the government, or whatever. Somebody trying to sell you something. Somebody, like Justin's always saying, somebody's got an agenda. They ain't asking you or telling you for something. My agenda is I don't want to live in a road warrior style mentality. I don't want to live in an all hell broke loose situation where the doggone, you can't even walk out your front door without worrying about getting robbed or shot. You know, ask those people in the war-torn zones when they wish somebody would have stepped up, before or after the bombs fell. It's time for the people of the world to step up. It's time for every single average Joe to get out a pen and a paper, type an email, and flood their representatives with a hold the fort type of message. Because if you don't, what you're going to end up with isn't necessarily going to be what you want. Those folks out there that think they're going to sneak old Hillary in under the radar, you know, I don't even care if it's on the Trump side. If Trump does what he says he's going to do when he gets in there, maybe he can turn it around, but maybe not.
Yeah. Talk with his head, but he outlived his usefulness. I don't know.
Who's got good reading skills?
I don't trust Hillary. I do not trust Hillary. I halfway trust Trump, but if he's the picture of businessman, then we're still in trouble.
Who's got good reading skills in the chat room? Nobody?
Copy and paste it. I'll read it.
What I'm trying to say to everybody is we can't rely on the doggone so-called elected officials of this planet. I can't copy the paste. It won't give me the... You'll have to do it. Anyway, we're seeing what the representation of the world has been when you put career criminals in charge of running the nations, and it hasn't worked out so well. You've seen every politician talk about and say all wonderful things. I'm going to fix this. The other guy's corrupt. Somebody's going to steal Granny's wooden leg and false teeth and Social Security and stuff. I don't know if any of y'all noticed this yet or not, but the Social Security's going broke. They keep raiding the cookie jar.
I had to tell my mama the other day. She said, how come you won't just work for a regular company? You got to work for yourself. She said, you ain't going to have nothing. I mean, when Social Security comes in, I said, Mama, that's already bankrupt. And they've already stolen so much out of it. And the rest of it, they ain't waiting very long to get the rest of it.
Yep.
Ain't going to be nothing there when that time comes. I'm not worried about it.
When trillions of dollars can just come up missing and nobody's held accountable?
Oh, that can't happen. No. About that global warming fund that they used to ask you to donate to when you got on an airplane.
Yeah.
That disappeared. Nobody knows where that went. Where did the money go that they sent over to Afghanistan?
Did anybody realize that why they were flying in that airplane, that they were putting carbon emissions out? Just saying. Anyway, Stephen Givens posted a couple links in the chat room over there, and one is for the universeproject.com and one is for ubuntuparty.org. He said, so there is a couple of solutions. The trouble I see with the first is its currency is built on resources available to the population, and the central computer control problem. One resource, what happens when we release the anti-gravity tech from the military-industrial complex and we have the resources of the solar system at our disposal? And two, we need now have the technology with crystalline data storage. Every home could have a server that stores all the information of humanity on shared mesh network in each and every house. The second solution, Ubuntu, is younger and seems more organic in its development and contribution-based currency. I can't really see any major problems with the second other than not being as well planned as the Venus project, but it's that really a problem as it gives more scope to use most up-to-date technical solutions for problems. I myself would like to see the time-based currency as time is the only thing that is an equal value to us all. So.
Amen.
There's some ideas out there, man. If we could sit down at the table and have a peaceful conversation like that, if the Congress and the Senate would actually do their job, they sit there and argue about legislation that right out of the gate, if you actually sat there and read it, you would understand that it was not constitutional, so it had to go back to the drawing board to tell it to reach constitutional muster. And there's something that could be done before it ever even hits the Senate or the Congress, that it hits a private, what do you call those doggone think tank, where they sit there and they read over it and find out whether or not it meets constitutional muster before it ever even wastes the time of the Senate and Congress. So, you know, what do you call those doggone people, the private think tanks or whatever. I can't even remember the terminology.
Criminals?
No. Seriously. If we the people wanted something done, if we wanted law made, we gather together, we write it up, we set the proposal to Congress and Senate, they read over it, if they like it, they all agree on it, then it gets voted in. But that ain't how it goes right now. You got lobbyists out there.
Oh, the House, the Senate.
You got corporations out there. The only ones who are actually out there lobbying Congress and the Senate are special interest groups. Where are the masses of we the people out there lobbying Congress? The only time the we the people ever lobby Congress is when we catch wind of something that stinks, and then we act. Meantime, a whole bunch of laws, like Nancy Pelosi said, we got to pass this bill to find out what's in it. And like Trey Gowdy said, the only thing disturbing about that whole mess is that everybody bought it. We're getting free health care. Hooray! Never mind all the stuff that was attached to that bill that you don't want.
That's just about enough out of you.
Sounds like people at the gate with pitchforks. So if old King Shaziz the Terrible is being overthrown and my castle's being overrun by the people, well, it's been nice knowing y'all. Oh man, what a mess.
You know, King Shaziz has not uttered one thing that I kept keep expecting to hear.
Which is?
It's good to be the king.
It's not. It stinks.
It's a clothes on.
Being the king stinks. Because unlike the President of the United States, this king's held accountable by the people. Because this king's told, oh, you're just ranting, you're just on a soapbox, you're just crazy, that won't work.
Oh, no, you're bringing the news here, you're warning people, you're telling them just like a king ought to do, man. You're there to serve. That's what a king is. That's the difference between a dictator and a king. A king serves his people. A dictator rules his people.
Well, that's kind of like why I like...
dictators out there.
That's kind of like why I like the idea of the round table. All the knights and the king, they sit at the same table, and it's a round table where nobody's sitting at the beginning of the table. You know? Everybody's on equal footing at this table. Nobody's lesser. Nobody's better than anybody out here, including the king. That's the kind of mentality we need. This round table has amazing properties to it. This round table is based in cyberspace. And cyberspace is an infinite realm that table can get to the largest diameter that you think it can get. You still got room to fit another person at the table. We got the capability right now to build the world's largest round table that all the people of the world who really care and believe and hope and peace can come to and have a say. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yep. You definitely serve the people. You made the biggest worldwide microphone for anybody, shouting it from the mountain.
Yep.
It was like 6.2 million people. Awesome. That's a king. That's a man that serves. And you can still make fun of his hair and he loves you.
Yep. We just gotta bring the people who want to fix the world to the table.
I'm gonna sign your name in on my ballot.
Well, I think I'd be a good president.
You're gonna get him assassinated, man.
I think I'd be a good president because the very first thing that I'd do on my very first day in office, you would see me walking in there with a broom and a dustpan. And they'd be like, "What are you doing, Mr. President?" I said, "I'm getting ready to clean house."
Yeah.
So if any of y'all is corrupt in here, yes, now is your first and only warning to exit the building. Otherwise, like Mrs. Hazelrig did to Mark Hazelrig back in my youth, she chased him up down the street with a doggone broom. We're going to clean house.
All hail King Chazuz.
So, I don't want to hear nobody come on this radio show and say all hope is lost. Unless they got some sort of solution. You know? It's okay. You can come in here and you can tell me we're doomed and we need to get our act together. As long as you got some sort of idea how we can get out of it. But if you tell me the house is on fire and we're all going to die and don't point out none of the exits, you know, if the house is on fire, grab up all your kids first and your wife and your animals and get out. But if there's a chance to save the joint before it burns down, then everybody pick up a bucket and let's do it.
Get it done.
Justin.
Justin says the joint's always busy.
No, he said it always burns.
Uh-oh. Oh,
toke it up, man. Look, I can't be the only one who thinks that the world can be saved. No, I can't be the only one who thinks that doomsday is written in stone. I can't be the only one who believes in the dream. If we can fix this world and we don't even try, that's a waste, man.
If my people hear my name and ask for forgiveness, I will heal the lands.
Yep.
Sadly to say, we're in a different part of the Bible that predicts what's going on.
Yep.
That's not what it's saying. But it's because we didn't heed the first one that we're going through what we're going through.
You know, it's easy to sit around and mock somebody's beliefs in something. It's harder to get out there and show them the truth of why things are the way that they are. There's so much in history that humanity should not be proud of. there are so many times that if people would have paid attention to what went on in history and made an honest effort to take steps to not repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again. The people of the world have become complacent enough to allow their elected representatives to do what it is that they do. If you don't, if you're not happy with the government, there's nothing wrong with the system. The system isn't the problem. It was a good idea. It was a good system. It's the folks that you got running the ship that you got to watch out for. At some point, everybody said, you know, hey, you got this. Oh, let's let you do your thing, you know, make our country great again. What happened to we the people making our country great again? During the World War II, when we were supposed to go fight against Nazi Germany to save the people of this world, after the Japanese struck Pearl Harbor and all that kind of stuff, according to what we were told in history, the people of this country rallied together. They turned factories into a big industrial machine. They rallied together. They built and they fixed and they created. And throughout all these years, people have immigrated from all over the world to come here to America. Why would they want to come here if it was so bad? Even today, why would they want to come here if America is so bad? So we need people that are here, that are coming here, that are willing to want to make things better if it's so bad.
And you know, it was a nice dream to go out there to that big old huge pile of plastic out there, throw air bubbles in it and melt it and make it a solid land, build you a kingdom out there, put Thomas in charge of candidate approval with a system of scan them while they watch things and see if their brains actually work with emotion and all, to find out if they're what do you call those two words there, Thomas?
Which two words?
Oh, when the front lobe of their brain doesn't work, sociopaths and psychopaths, scan them to make sure, you know, that they actually, you know, that they're actually human.
Right.
Put them out there. We'd have a kingdom out there, and I'd put Shaziz up as king, and you know, but sadly, there's the rest of the world around you, and more than likely, you'd be the first place to get bombed. They robbed the candy store and don't want their spanking. They would just, oh, we'll let you pay the price. So they advertise, send your gold in. We're backed by the government. You know you can trust us.
Yeah, it's called subsidizing your losses.
Yeah.
I want to tell you guys something personal about me. I got this weird, I don't know whether you call it obsession, but this weird thing about food. You know, I was raised in a family that was seriously poor, and I had a father who was a bum. Matter of fact, he's been in prison for like the last 9 years for some terrible deeds that he got caught doing, and ever since I was a child, and some of the things that I had to have for dinner weren't necessarily the things that anybody else out there in the world that are accustomed to having really nice meals or whatever would want to eat. And so this stuck with me throughout my entire life. One little short story was, my brother and I were chasing around a chicken in a trailer court in Georgia, and Mom was like, if you can catch that chicken, we'll cook him up for dinner. We never did catch a chicken. But some neighbors saw us chasing that chicken around, and they cooked us up with a couple of legs of fried chicken. We took that home to share it with our mom. You know, my mom would not even touch it. I know she was just as hungry as we were. She wouldn't even touch it. But she loved us so much. We sat out there on the front porch and we ate that chicken. But as I'm sitting there eating my piece of chicken, I'm feeling bad because I know my mom's inside and she's hungry too, but she's doing without because she wouldn't touch it. So ever since then, every time there's a family get-together, I am the very last person to get in line. Unless my wife or somebody will bring me a plate beforehand, I won't eat until I know that all my family's been fed. And if I'm in a situation, which I have been in the past, where somebody made me feel like I wasn't worthy of having dinner, I wouldn't eat.
Send your mom my love.
I will. And it's not because I want attention or anything like that I'm telling this message. It's because I learned something at a young age about how other people in this world matter just as much, and in some cases more, than me. And so, I am who I am, and I won't eat if I know somebody else is around me that I can help isn't. And I thought that deep down inside that the majority of all the people of this world felt just like I did. That somewhere inside them, they wouldn't want unless somebody else had, if you understand what I'm trying to say. I get at the end of the line. And whatever's left over, I'm willing to accept.
And the last shall be first.
And I feel blessed. I feel blessed if I get a scrap. Because I know, folks, I honestly know, I have lived it. I know what it feels like to go without food. I know what it feels like to sleep on the street. I know what it feels like to wear raggedy clothes to school and be mocked and ridiculed. I know what it feels like to be bullied and beat up. And I know that the majority of the people out there in this world know that as well.
We've got a lot in common.
Folks, Shaziz Radio is all about love and communication. And I do believe in the dream. I don't believe that we are defenseless. I don't believe that we are hopeless. I believe in possibilities. Otherwise, I wouldn't get up every Sunday and talk to you on the Knights of the Round Table. I wouldn't get up every Saturday and talk about alternative energy if I didn't believe that there was a necessity out there. If people have electricity, we have machinery that can pump water to them. If they have electricity, they can keep themselves warm and cool when they need to be. They can cook. They can have the comforts of a warm shower. I believe that if I'm able to have a warm shower, then the person over there in the third world nation should be able to have a warm shower. If I can have a warm blanket, then they should have a warm blanket. See, in my belief, all men are created equal. And no one man, including the pastor, the pope, the congressman, the senator, or anybody else, one man, no one man or woman is above any other soul on this planet. That's what I believe. That all men are created equal. All women are created equal. And I believe there's a need out there. I believe there is a need that has to be met and has been well overdue, and that the only way that that need will ever get met is when we stand up and we say the things we say and we motivate the souls out there willing to get up off the couch and do just that. The good book said, blessed be the meek. Or, doggone, I can't remember, buddy, can you remember?
Blessed be the makers of the peace.
Yeah, there you go.
Blessed be the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. My brain stopped on me. Blessed be the peacemaker, for the meek shall inherit the earth. I'm just hoping that by the time it all comes around that the meek don't inherit a mess. Why trash such a beautiful place?
Why poison it?
Yeah.
You're trying to get rid of it. They got the Georgia Guidestone that says 500 million people tops. You know what? You see a cross out there in the, on public land, somebody will complain, have it taken down. You see, but they can put that Georgia Guidestones up there like it's Stonehenge. It needs to be protected because that's a piece of history.
Well,
what if they didn't sign their names to it?
You know, buddy, that those folks out there who advocate that whole depopulation might end up being part of the recipients of that depopulation.
I believe everything you do back that you do against the people winds up backfiring on you. Look at Hillary; she's going bonkers. All the things she's done is just torturing her, and yeah. She's just trying to put that fake smile on there and get up there and make promises that she knows she's not going to keep.
Well,
it's like a high school. It's like the election for the high school president. It's nothing but a popularity contest. That's all it is.
Well, we're down to the wire, and with that said, we need to make a short run around the table. But before that, I want to say something, you know, from my book of faith and my belief system, the good Lord said, what you do unto the least of me, you do unto me. And so, for those folks out there who believe that we all are combined as one universal force and we together are God, then that word stands true as well. What you do unto the least of me, you do unto me. And so, I'm thinking maybe we ought to treat each other decent. What do you think, buddy?
I love you and Thomas.
I love you guys too, man.
Do best I can.
What do you think, Thomas?
I'm thinking I'm just still listening, you know?
Well, we're about to get up out of here.
I used to eat nothing but the best food growing up. Yep, that's after they carved the bad stuff off. That's why we got the best of it. We didn't get the stuff they carved off. And so, yeah, I kind of share a lot of the same kind of childhood, you know, and I still do it. I mean, I'll take the cheap, carve the mold off. If I see the bread starting to go, doggone, I'll throw those slices away, throw them out to the bird, do something with them, cut that piece off, and shoot, I'm having sandwiches. We're going to eat a lot of them because tomorrow may not be good. And what you have for dinner tonight is chosen by which is the oldest, and let's get rid of it before it goes bad. So
that's a good idea.
We eat nothing but the best.
And in the industry out there, all those folks out there that...
I ain't starving, that's for sure, am I?
Out there in the industry, those folks out there that waste so much stuff, you know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, digging in trash trying to find some specks of food. And that's not what humanity is supposed to be about. We are our brother's keepers. We are the caretakers. We should be doing a better job taking care of one another. That's at least from my point of view, and that's what my good book says. So, you know, take it how you want, folks. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
God bless.
Peace and love.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
Red knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that our quiet comes in able. We're off to bed in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All wrath will King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.